This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to William Hill's Golf Podcast. It's Dave Kellner here in the studios. We look forward to the Russian Open on the European Tour this week and the Canadian Open on the US PGA Tour. Mike Grenham away this week. We've brought in a golf betting system, Steve Bamford, onto the podcast. Steve, welcome along.
Hello. Hello, listeners. How are we?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. Where's Mike sunning himself? That's my first question. Where's he got away?
Couldn't possibly reveal that sort of information, Steve.
Gignes or somewhere.
I've been gagged as far as that's concerned.
Gagged.
What a week last week, Steve, first of all. Rory McIlroy, three quarters of the way towards the Grand Slam now, having added an Open Championship to his US Open and US PGA Championships, and it was a quality golfing week, and McIlroy was superb throughout.
I have to say, I really enjoyed last week's Open. I just thought it had there were various comments I was reading in the Twitter sphere and whatever about people saying it wasn't a typical Open Championship, and I can see where they were heading. You know, it was low scoring, but I thought it was packed full of drama. I just really enjoyed the course as well. It's one of those courses where, you know, there was a bit of risk and reward to it. He obviously had the better side of the draw, and he maximised the advantages he was given, and he looked back to his brilliant best, really, didn't he?
Yeah, I think there were two key points. You mentioned the draw, which was a huge factor. Must have cost the likes of Adam Scott, who finished placed in the end, five shots over the course of the week.
Definitely.
And I think his aggression from tee to green as well was something that separated McIlroy from the field. He averaged 327 yards from the tee compared to a field average of 282. That's a difference of a 5-iron to a 9-iron. That's a big advantage.
Absolutely. So he was coming in with those shorter clubs, and we've often said in the past on a softer course, which it obviously was on the Thursday and later on in the tournament. If you give Rory a target of say 150, 170 yards, he dials into that. You know, he's the best player of soft golf courses in the world, and it all fell into his lap. But he still had to do the job, and the way that he came down the stretch was very, very impressive.
Other notables, Ricky Fowler, now placed in the first three majors, first time since Tiger Woods in 2005 that's been achieved. He joins Jesper Parnevik and Ernie Els as the only players to shoot four rounds in the 60s at an Open Championship and not win it. So he might feel slightly aggrieved.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that we tipped up Ricky Fowler on the website, and if there was one guy that was potentially going to trip Rory up, it was Ricky. Very, very consistent play, as you've just stated there. You just get the feeling that under Butch Harmon, he's got his head around what events to peak to and how to peak, and you can just see a major championship potentially down, you know, fairly recent or quite quickly in the future down the line for him. I know that Rory mentioned that in his acceptance speech, that he thinks that Ricky's going to win very, very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ricky Fowler has a major in his future, without a doubt. What did you make to Tiger Woods' performance?
Well, he started quite well, didn't he? And then he had various problems on the Thursday with people taking pictures, and you know, him and Bubba, they didn't really look like they enjoyed the experience, did they? On the Thursday and the Friday, I think Tiger. It's difficult to say, isn't it? Especially with Firestone next week, which we know Firestone South, the Bridgestone Invitational, Tiger absolutely thrives around that course. So he's going to be potentially a tempting price, but it seems to me he just needs competitive rounds, and you know whether he's going to qualify or get a captain's pick, that's the big question from Tom Watson, isn't it, for the Ryder Cup?
Yeah,
it's going to be very, very tight, I think.
It will. I agree with you. Tom Watson stated throughout that if Tiger's fit, he will pick him, but it's difficult at the moment given that he's got he's not played much competitive golf. His swing looks ragged at the moment, particularly with the driver. It's a tough decision for Watson because both teams, looking forward to Glen Eagles, they both look very, very strong, those two teams.
Absolutely. Did you notice Jim Furyk in the first two rounds? He was paired with Tom Watson, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he played fantastically well. And I know that some people in the past have said that Jim, you know, he's past his best and he shouldn't be in the Ryder Cup team. But this season he's played fantastic golf and he's obviously going to qualify on merit. So it was very interesting to see Jim put up a fantastic performance right under Tom's guise, if you like.
Yeah, we'll come on to Jim Furyk, who is a favourite for the Canadian Open in due course. Let's have a look at the Russian Open then, which is this week's European Tour event. And I know your golf betting system partner, Paul Williams, has done the preview on your website for this event. And Matthew Nixon, Rickard Kahlberg and Scott Jamieson are 16-1 co-favourites of three here with William Hill. David Horsey is 20-1. Craig Lee is 25s. Bradley Dredge, Dan Huizing, Maximilian Kiefer, Mikko Kornhonen, and Richard Finch are all in the betting at 28s, and it's 33s bar. From a pure personnel point of view, Steve, this is disappointing. None of the top 150 in the world rankings are in attendance. And in my opinion, it's a glorified Challenge Tour event, this one. But apparently the golf course is a cracker. We saw it last year. Solivo Golf Club, designed by Jack Nicklaus, got rave reviews when it was used for the Challenge Tour events. And the European Tour players that have participated here have given this golf course a glowing report.
Absolutely. It's just sub 7,500 yards, isn't it? As you said, Nicklaus design. Fairly wide off the tee. And they say that the bent grass greens are absolutely immaculate. I know that they got rave reviews last season. So, yeah, the course itself, absolutely fantastic. I don't think the purse particularly helps. It's quite a minimal purse. And as we know, players tend to pick and choose where they want to play their golf. There is quite a lot. There's obviously last year's renewal in 2013.
Yep.
But for individuals or guys out there looking for course form, the actual Russian Challenge Cup was played here on the Challenge Tour between 2010 and 2012. So there's some useful course form there as well. But yes, you have to say, overall, it's a disappointing field, isn't it? I know that Paul himself was very, very keen on Michael Hoey if he was going to defend his title this year. But he got injured, didn't he, at Hoylake last week. So it would have been interesting because Hoey's been very, very consistent this season. But yeah, in truth, it's a disappointing tournament, really, from a betting perspective.
You look through the top 10 of the leaderboard last year, only one player ranked outside the top 25 in greens in regulation, and five of the top 10 ranked inside the top 10 in that statistic as well. Like many Nicklaus designs, the challenge gets more difficult the closer to the green you get.
Absolutely. Mm. That's a typical Nicklaus feature.
Yeah, it is. And I've only got the one pick here because of the weakness of the field, Steve.
Yeah, do you want me to lead?
Yes, please do.
Lead tip, Carlos de Mirao, 50-1. Interesting young Spaniard. Only two course champions in attendance this week. So that's guys that have obviously won on that Challenge Tour event. That's Alexandra Kaleka and Carlos himself, Carlos de Mirao. Interesting with Carlos, 33rd in Cologne last month, which caught the eye. He shot 68-68-66 in the opening three rounds there to actually go into the final round in second position. He obviously won the Challenge Tour Q School in 2013, so he's a player of some note. Interestingly enough as well, at Cologne, and this might have some bearing, he shot four eagles that week, which is a kind of number you rarely see in a golf tournament, four eagles over in Cologne.
Yep.
He's a fantastic putter, that's his game, an absolutely awesome putter, but he, again, a little bit like Hoey, not the straightest off the tee. So on a course that's fairly generous off the tee and with quite large greens, putters can come to the fore. Good putter, but interestingly enough here, he obviously won in 2010. But listen to these names of some of the players that he beat in that actual Challenge Tour. Tommy Fleetwood, Thorbjørn Olsen, Scott Jamieson, and also Ricardo Santos. He actually beat all of those guys when he won here in 2010. So he's obviously got course form. He's 101st in the race to Dubai, so he needs a euro or two to just make sure he's got his card for next year. He's the kind of player, I just think, at this kind of second-tier level. He was fourth at the Teshwani Open and also 20th at the NH Collection earlier this season. I just think he's the kind of player that could just pop up and put in a real contending performance this week.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Carlos Del Moral, 50-1. My one pick, I've gone for an Asian player here. Suk Yun Baek is my selection at 50-1. Admittedly, Asian players in the hole have difficulty sometimes converting on the European Tour, but this guy's an improving Asian player, and he has got a couple of decent finishes in co-sanctioned events in the past.
Uh-huh.
Fifth in the Avanza Masters last year, 11th in the Championship at Laguna this season, and decent results on the Asian Tour in the main in the past few months. Second place finish at the Indonesian Masters, followed by a fifth at the Queen's Cup. And what I like about his game is he scrambles and putts well,
yep,
which I think will be key attributes around here. He's yet to prove that he can take that Asian form to the European Tour, but this is a challenge tour event in all but name. So I'll go with Suk Yun Baek at 50-1 as my one pick here, Steve.
Yeah, sounds interesting play. I've kind of registered him in the radar because, like you said, he's been getting some decent results over there in the Far East. So
yeah,
one to watch out for. I'm also going for Jamie McCleary at 100-1. Interesting performance last week, wasn't he? 58th at Hoylake, but he made the cut and he was in the absolute, you know, he was on the worst side of the draw imaginable. That was a decent performance, and I think that's definitely buoyed him, reading an interview or two about him. He's obviously struggled so far on the main tour. He qualified out of the Challenge Tour last year. But it's interesting, travelling to Russia with high hopes, I expect, on the basis that he actually performed well back here in 2010, the tournament that Del Moral won, actually. He led here after 54 holes. And you often see it, don't you? A player from the second or third tier, if you like, who does well at a major championship, who actually plays well on a course that nothing's expected of him, and then the week after goes to a tournament that's a lower standard on an easier course, and all of a sudden they just pop up to the top of the leaderboard.
Yep.
He's 184th in the race to Dubai, so he definitely needs a result or two to get into that top 115. So Jamie McCleary, 100-1. That's the our second bet there.
Good stuff. Thank you, Steve. And players that came close. Mikko Korhonen came close for me, but just a little bit too short in the betting. He's got a couple of 10th place finishes here in the last 2 years. Made the cut in four of his last six events as well. Already had decent finishes in national opens in Spain and France. The thing that put me off was he's never won, Mikko Korhonen. And when you're contemplating backing someone at 28-1, you maybe want that little bit of winning form. Others, Craig Lee was interesting, I thought. It looks a decent chance for him to bag his maiden title here at 25s. And Thomas Peters could be a class above these in due course. And he's 40-1. He's a player that Mike really likes. I thought he had a solid chance at 40s.
Yeah, he's a decent shout. I know that Paul was also very keen on Richard Finch and James Morrison, two guys he thinks go well around that 28-1, 33-1 range. But yeah, Peters, he looks like a bit of a prospect, doesn't he?
He's got some strength off the tee, but his form is inconsistent, and that's the problem. When he finds a little bit of consistency, I'm sure he's going to be one of the best players, without a doubt.
I think a lot of thing with these kinds of second tier tournaments is motivation, isn't it? It's players there that need to get a result and who fancy the golf course that all of a sudden that, you know, they're challenging at the top. So, yeah, Peter's definitely a name to toy with, I think. There.
Let's move on to the feature event this week. Unquestionably, the Canadian Open on the US PGA Tour. And Jim Furyk is the 10-1 favourite for the tournament. Dustin Johnson, 12-1. Graham McDowell and Matt Kuchar, both 16s. Charles Schwartzel is in the betting at 18-1. Brant Snedeker is 22s. Graham DeLatt and Hunter Mahan, both 25s. And it's 28s and bigger the rest. And this is the Steve, the oldest golf club in North America, Royal Montreal Golf Club, the host for this year's championship, and it did host the 2007 President's Cup as well. The Canadian Open is a migrating tournament, so it has been here in the past. It looks a really nice golf course, this one, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a Dick Wilson original design, but obviously Reece Jones renovated it around about 2004, 2005, with the President's Cup in mind. I don't know if you remember, that was the President's Cup where Tiger Woods was shot down by Mike Weir in the singles.
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, the States won it quite comfortably. But I think it's an interesting course. I mean, it's obviously difficult sometimes because, you know, these Canadian Opens, yeah, it's a rotor system, so you don't get to see them very often. 7,153 yards. It's a tight par 70. Plenty of dog legs. The thing you find with the Canadian Open, most of the Canadian Opens of recent times, you're looking at around about 14 under to up to around about 18 under is the kind of score that gets the victory. I know there was one at Shaughnessy over in Vancouver a couple of years ago where 4 under won. It was a really horrible sort of US Open type golf course. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting test. There's obviously a lot of the RBC or the Royal Bank of Canada players playing this week. That's part of their sponsorship package that they need to play the Canadian Open. So yeah, it's an interesting tournament. You've got a lot of short prices at the top end, as you've mentioned already, and then the field kind of thins out quite quickly. But the other thing to take note of, I think, this week is it's obviously I think for a lot of the journeymen now on the PGA Tour, they've effectively got 3 tournaments left before the FedEx Cups standings cut off. And a lot of them are looking for that top 125 position to obviously get their full playing privileges for next year. So that's something to bear in mind, especially if you're looking for some longer prices.
Yeah, and you mentioned the golf course being a tight par 70, measuring just over 7,000 yards. It's worth referencing the greens as well. Small greens here, averaging just 5,000 feet in total. And it's a golf course that's been likened to Harbour Town, host of the Heritage Tournament. Maybe also worth having a look at TPC Sawgrass form for this tournament as well. It strikes me as a real traditional golf course, and you'll see good ball strikers towards the top of the leaderboard at the end of the week. Scott Verplank won here in 2001. Not a long hitter, but an accurate hitter.
Absolutely. I think it was interesting last year, wasn't it? They played it at Glen Abbey, which is a Nicholas design par 72. And if you remember at Muirfield the previous week, the conditions there had been very, very firm and fast. And a lot of the Open Championship players got across to Glen Abbey. It was fairly soft. It was wide off the tee. It was a par 72. And the scoring was extremely low. Some of the feedback that I've seen about this course is it's Royal Montreal is the blue course. It's likely to be a little bit more of a challenge. And I think ball strikers are going to come to the fore.
I do. I agree wholeheartedly. I've just got a couple of picks, Steve. I know you've got 3 for this event, so why don't you tee off here?
It's interesting. You look at the last 7 Canadian Opens, Dave. You look at what the guys did the week before. 4 didn't actually play at the Open Championship. 1 missed the cut. You also had a 12th and an 11th place. So when you're looking at some of the shorter prices, especially Jim Furyk, and I think you know I'm quite a supporter of Jim. I do like Jim. But, you know, at the end of the day, the guy hasn't won since 2010. And, you look at his price that's available at the moment and you just think to yourself, can you absolutely back him at 12-1 on the basis of that link? Exactly.
You can't.
So I've kind of deliberately made a decision to go for some longer price players. Of the favourites, I actually, if I was forced to pick one, it would probably be Graham McDowell. I think at a current 16-1 is a good shout. You know, he's obviously in great form. You mentioned the Harbour Town link a little bit earlier. We know that GMAC won there last year, so I think Graham McDowell is a decent shout, and he's found the putter of late. But I know this sounds crazy as a headline pick, but the shortest price I'm going for is Charlie Hoffman, 35-1. Now, Charlie, you think to yourself, you know, he won at TPC Boston in 2010. great results. He's had great results at Harbortown. He's also had good results at River Highlands. Again, another 7,000, a sub 7,000 yard par 70. So, you know, he can get around tighter golf courses. He's 10th in greens in regulation, and he's 37th so far in strokes gained putting, which are decent results. Now, the other thing with Charlie is sometimes he can be accused of being a little bit wayward off the tee, and that's true, but last couple of tournaments, 29th and 44th in driving accuracy, and the performance that really grabbed my attention was his third a few weeks ago at Congressional. Now, you wouldn't link Charlie Hoffman and Congressional together. Very, very tight fairways, 7,500 yards. You had to be accurate off the tee, ball striking course, and he finished third, which shows you what kind of nick Charlie's in at the moment. He was fourth at St George's at the Canadian Open held there in 2010. Again, another tight par 70. I just think Charlie, yeah, you can question all day whether he's actually got the mental fortitude to get the job done, but he's playing great golf at the moment, and he can win golf tournaments. So I really do fancy him at 35s this week.
Good stuff. Charlie Hoffman, 35-1. I'm glad you referenced Jim Furyk, because he was a pick on the podcast last week at 60s, but six times the price last week for an Open Championship. Has a terrific recent major championship record. He's 10-1 this week. I think it's That price is bemusing as far as I'm concerned this week. It really is. I'm going with Carl Pettersson as my headline pick here. A point each way at 50-1 on the Swede. I just can see this as the sort of venue where he will be involved at the business end. He was also a winner at Harbortown in 2012, Carl Pettersson. I think he plays his best golf on old traditional style golf courses, and this test should suit him absolutely perfectly. His stats, they might be a little bit misleading because he's missed 9 cuts this season, but I think it's better to focus on his recent form. He's made his last 5 cuts. That includes a tied 3rd at the St Jude and a tied 5th at the Travellers. He ranked 1st in greens in regulation at both Southwind and River Highlands as well, which is shows you how well he's striking his irons at the moment. And that could be key on these small greens as well around here. Plays the par fours well and won this championship actually back at St George's in 2010. I like the bet at 50-1 on Carl Pettersson this week.
Yeah, I'll back you up on that 100%. Carl Pettersson is perfect for this golf course. Really, really is.
Second pick, Steve?
Kind of a Carl Pettersson type. I think it's you know, you can just tell just talking through to who we've gone with, we're going for the same kind of players here, you know, experienced ball strikers. I think at 50-1, KJ Choi makes a lot of sense this week. He's already been second twice this season at Torrey Pines, Rhys Jones course, and also at River Highlands a couple of weeks ago. Now, if you look at where Choi's won, it's a kind of very similar list to Carl Pettersson, actually. He's won at Copperhead twice, Congressional, Muirfield Village, Sedgefield and Wyalay. Now, you know, you've got some tight golf courses there. You've got lots of par 70s there. I just fancy Choi. He does come to the fore on tighter courses. Obviously, also was he won the Players in 2011, a really tight course there. The thing with it, I think the actual yardage of the course plays into his strengths this week. Just 7,150 yards. He's a fantastic player when his approach shots are underneath 150 yards. He's very consistent in the greens he hits, and he's very, very accurate with them. So his proximity to hole from sub 150 yards is really good. And most of the, I think the par fours all around this course are all sub 450 yards. That falls into his hands. He played the 2007 President's Cup here, and also he was in the top 10 here way back in 2001, that tournament that was played here, with which Scott Verblank won. I think KJ Choi at 50-1 is someone that definitely needs to be marked this week.
Thank you. KJ Choi, 50-1. Steve's second pick here. My final pick, I'm going with a flyer here, Steve. Joe Durant I'm going with, and Mike will know this guy well because he's been playing his trade on the Champions Tour in the main this season, but has a couple of really eye-catching performances on the PGA Tour recently. I think that's just about the right price. I didn't want to leave him out, though, because I really fancy him this week. He changed his shafts in his irons in April, and that's what he attributes to his renaissance in form recently. Since that change, he's gone on to make the cut in the championship in New Orleans on the PGA Tour. Final round 80 meant he only finished tied 67th there. He was going well. Subsequently finished tied 31st at the Travelers at River Highlands, which is a par 70. Mm-hmm. And then tied 11th at Greenbrier, old TPC White, also a par 70. He's also had five straight top tens on the Champions Tour since the change of shafts. He ranks first in driving accuracy and third in greens in regulation on the Champions Tour. And stats on the PGA Tour are decent as well. It's a venue that, because of its lack of length, on which I think Durant can compete, and there are very few PGA Tour events now that he will be able to compete on, but this is one of them. He's barely ever offline, Joe Durant, and he does find a heck of a lot of greens in regulation. And you look at his performances at the Travelers and Greenbrier respectively, he shot rounds of 64 and 65 in the first rounds of those championships. He's a four-time PGA Tour winner. He is a bit long in the tooth now, 50 years old, Joe Durant. But this is a golf course on which I think he can thrive. And if you look through the bare statistics, he's got a shout this week, I think, Joe Durant.
I'd love to see a driving accuracy contest between Joe Durant and David Toms. You'd be there all night if they missed the fairway.
I think he ranks first in greens in driving accuracy on the PGA Tour as well, which is incredible given the amount of missed cuts he's had this season.
The term "straight as a die" was designed for Joe Durant. I can see your logic. The interesting thing about Joe as well is he'll be way out of the top 125 in the FedEx Cup standings. So if you think it through, a win here or a second or a third, which is more than possible, that gives them a huge boost in points. That could give him some kind of partial status, or he might even be able to nick a place in the top 125. Johnny Vegas did exactly the same thing at the John Deere Classic, didn't he? He finished third, and I think he went from 180-something in the standings now into a comfortable tight kind of 115 spot. So he's, or I think it was 110. So he's actually now got his card for next year. You could see Joe Durant doing something very, very similar around a course that's short to suit. Yeah, so I like that call.
Yeah, he's 181st in the FedEx Cup rankings. Yeah. And looking at his stats on the PGA Tour, he ranks number one in driving accuracy, ninth in greens in regulation, which is amazing given the amount of missed cuts he's had this season in the early part of the season. As I mentioned, his form recently at the Greenbrier and the Travelers, they were top finishers. And at 150-1, maybe worth having a little bit of an each-way speculative bet on him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can see the logic in that completely. He's a good shout. I'm going the last tip of the. I'm going to mention a couple of notables as well after this, but I think Scott Brown at 80-1 will have a lot of supporters this week. If you remember Scott Brown, he entered the PGA Tour as a rookie in 2012, and back in those days, he was a resort score specialist, extremely low scorer. He then won in 2013 at Puerto Rico, which again, it's a real long par 72, 18, 19 under gets the job done round there. And you kind of pigeonholed Scott into that's the kind of player he is. But it's very, very noticeable this season that Scott Brown is developing into a quality golfer. I mean, I've got some stats here. You know me, I do like a stat or three. Driving accuracy, 26th this season, and last year it was 76. Greens in regulation, 97th as opposed to 118. And listen to this, strokes gained putting, 29th this season, 139th last season.
Yeah.
That is three exceptional jumps across the across core stats. But then third at Courdival and fourth at Sea Island at the end of last year. You know, it was a wraparound season, but in 2013. Courdival, classical golf course. Sea Island, a par 70. And then this season, he's come to the fore on courses that I would never pigeonhole him in at all. Fifth at Harbortown, and we've been talking about that link. 13th at Muirville Village, which again, Nicklaus design, but thins down towards the green, so very much a putting and chipping course. And then last time out at Deer Run, the John Deere Classic, fifth again. I just think Scott Brown, he reminds me very much of Scott Piercy a couple of years ago. He's playing very, very good golf. And Piercy, he won this 2 years ago. I think it was 17-under at Hamilton. I just think Scott Brown is a real form horse. He's got course form that links him very, very well. He's hitting lots of greens at the moment. And he's putting extremely well. So I just think Scott Brown at 80-1, he could be one of those inexperienced or guys that aren't so recognised that could really perform well this week.
80-1, I like that. Scott Brown, your final pick here. You've mentioned a few of the guys that I were going to mention. At the top of the betting, Graham McDowell is the one that I'd want to be with at 16-1 if you're looking for a guy towards the head of the betting. I also like the chances of Brant Snedeker, who I think is coming back into top form now. He's 22-1. And just want to mention Russell Knox as well at 50-1. The Scot, he's having a fantastic season. I think he's got a terrific game and... he's made his last three cuts in good form. Russell Knox, he would be the other one on my mind, but I thought 50-1 was short enough.
It is short, isn't it? Statistically, he fits the bill, you know, perfectly across the categories you're looking for: accuracy, greens, and regulation. Also, he started really well at Royal Aberdeen, didn't he? And then when the wind really started to howl, he went backwards. But you can tell with Knox, he's not far away. You know, we're talking about FedEx Cup and guys fighting for their cards. And if you look at last year's results here, I know that Jason Bone, who finished second, was something like 137th in the FedEx Cup standings arriving in Canada. And William McGurr, another one, I think he's had 2 seconds here on the trot, isn't he, William McGurr, a real Canadian Open specialist. He was kind of 115th, 107th, I think he was 119th, actually. So he needed a result to keep his card. That kind of motivation's a real key, I think, this week. I've got four here. I'm just going to mention at long prices, four players that are outside the top 125 in the standings. You've got Chad Campbell at 80-1. He definitely needs to be closely watched, I think. Johnson Wagner at 100-1. Wagner, all of a sudden, showing some real prowess from tee to green. He's hitting lots and lots of greens at the moment, Johnson Wagner. Real left-field shouts. You know, you've gone for Joe Duran. John Rollins, he's been hitting greens in regulation all season, but the putter has been absolutely ice cold. It was interesting at John Deere the last time out that Rollins was actually in the top 20 for putting average. So John Rollins, he needs a result to actually boost his FedEx Cup standing. And also, I've actually, on the website, I've put Troy Mattison down as a top 10 shout, but you can actually grab Troy Mattison, who's an absolute expert at grabbing his card at the very last minute on the PGA Tour. Troy Mattison, you can get a rather large 300-1 on Mattison. And if you look at Troy's form in the past, he's done well in Canada, he's had a top 10. But also, you look at the courses that feed in very well here, like a Sedgefield, like the John Deere Classic. Mattison has top fives across all of those various courses. So he shot a 61 at Greenbrier in the second round, so something's stirring there with Troy Mattison. 300-1, could be worth 50p each way.
Good stuff, thank you. Thank you, Steve. And let's just, before we recap the selections, get the player you don't want to win. This is a feature that myself and Mike have on the podcast. Who's the player that came closest to making the cut this week?
Of the actual top guys, it'd have to be G-Mac, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think Graham McDowell would be the guy I wouldn't want to win this week. I think he's got a phenomenal chance on a golf course that should suit. Let's recap the picks then, starting with your or Paul's Russian Open selections.
Yep, Carlos de Moral at 50-1 and also Jamie McCleary at 100-1.
I'm going with just the 1 point each way there with Suk-Yun Baek, the South Korean, at 50-1. And in Canada, Steve?
I'm going point each way on across these three. Charlie Hoffman at 35s. We've got KJ Choi at 50-1 and also Scott Brown at 80-1.
And I'm going with Carl Peterson at 50-1 and Joe Durant at 150-1 and a point each way on both those guys this week as well. Steve, quick mention for your website. How do we locate your website, Steve?
Golfbettingsystem.co.uk. If you just type golf betting tips or golf betting system, obviously, into a search engine of your choice, be that Google or Bing or whoever, you'll come across us. We've been established since 2009. Just come along. You know, we basically cover off every PGA Tour and European Tour event, and of course all the WGCs and the majors. And we've got two cracking weeks coming up, haven't we? We've got the Bridgestone Invitational, but also the PGA Championship in a couple of weeks.
They come thick and fast, these big tournaments, don't they, this
they
time
do.
Of year?
And then we're off into the playoffs over in America.
Thank you for your company, Steve. You can follow Steve on Twitter as well, at Bamford Golf, and you can follow myself, at D. Kellner. Pleasure speaking to you this morning, Steve. Hope you enjoy a good week.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you to Steve Bamford then for his contribution on the golf podcast this week. The Russian Open and the Canadian Open, the two big events. And make sure you download the podcast either via iTunes or by typing William Hill Golf Podcast into Audio Boo. It's been a pleasure, folks, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.